Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just going to pray over the offering. And for those watching online, you'll see the different ways to give on the screen. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for providing for us, Lord. We love you so much. And we just say, take our offering and change lives with it. Multiply it. And Lord, if there's anything, any person that we need to give into, to just be the embodiment of Jesus Christ into their life, Lord, you just show us who that is and how to do that. Use us, Lord God. We love you so much. All that we have is because you gave it to us. Take our tithes, take our offerings, take our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It is Christmas in July. It's just one other way we can give. So we are sponsoring children in Jamaica, Bob and Mary Holland, which will be speaking at our church in September. I believe it's the 13th. They have done a boys' home ministry for a long time, and now they also partner with the schools. And we sponsor a gift to about 75 children. And for many of them, it's the only Christmas gift they get. So when they come to Bob and Mary Holland's after-school program, they tutor them, they give them an education, they tell them about Jesus, and they help them with their career path. And it's really beautiful what they do and feed them as well. So if you'd like to give into that, you can grab a little ornament off the tree. There's a suggested donation of $25, but whatever's in your heart to give, that goes directly to them. And they shop in Jamaica to get the kids specific gifts that's going to bless them. Another way you can give is we have Harvest of Blessing. Miss Gerald, can you wave over there? We love her so much. She is feeding York County 3 days a week now. And that means we have three times the opportunities to be Jesus. Four. Oh my goodness. That's right. Four. You know, math and me, it's hard. I was a communications major, but four times a week. And if you would like to give into that, see Miss Gerald. Also, you can volunteer in so many different capacities, and they have tons of very, very safe procedures, organized procedures. But they need you. So please talk to them. Other than that, let's see. We have our church picnic August 30th. Mark your calendar and invite friends. We're working out the details. Don't worry. We're going to have it no matter what. We got plan A, B, and C. It's going to be fantastic. And I think that's all of our announcements that really need to be said. Men's prayer, August 1st. Talk to Mr. Mark Salmon, Bob Meredith, and Brian Coker over there. It's incredible what the men are doing and gathering together in prayer. So on that note, I am going to slowly dismiss the kids and youth. So we're going to start right now with the junior high. That is 5th through 8th grade. Go ahead, 5th through 8th grade. And now I am going to do the kids' classroom, and that is 1st through 4th grade and their teachers. And we'll dismiss the preschool and parents. And the nursery and nursery workers. And Pastor D has a great message for today.
Woohoo! Okay. I see my little tapes all over the place. Praise God. Hey, we have a bookstore. In our bookstore is some great stuff, and we've been talking a little bit about love, and here's a really good book. It's Love by Kenneth E. Hagin, and then we've also been talking about The Nature of God. Here's a really good one called The Nature of God by Andrew Womack. So those are good books. Go into our bookstore. It's great stuff. Amen. I think I only have about 15 scriptures, so get your piece of paper, write them down. Okay? Don't ever say, oh, she doesn't give us any word. I will give you the word. And then it's your job to go do something with it. Oh, wait a minute. That's what we've been talking about. Okay, Pastor D, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just come into your presence again. Just so joyful. Just so wonderful. Wonderful to come in here. Wonderful, Father, to give value and honor to your word today. And Father, we are a people of faith, and we believe that we have ears to hear and to receive your word for our life personally, and then what we can do with it for others. And I thank you, Father, that the word will not return void, that we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Okie dokie. So we're talking about dirt. This is week number three of dirt. And really, it has to do with the Word of God. We're really talking about the Word of God. And who is the Word of God? one person gets a lollipop when they go downstairs. Jesus is the Word of God. So, you know, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Word of God. And we're really talking about all the power that is in resident in the seed of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So open up to Matthew 13. This has been our key scripture for the last 3 weeks, and we will dig into it again today. So Matthew 13, Jesus says, the sower sows the word, so the seed is the word. Everybody say the word. So again, we're talking about the word, all right? And we know what's inside of seeds, right? We have learned what's inside of seeds. This inside of the seed is the ability to produce stuff, the ability to do stuff, okay? Anybody got a big old tree in your front yard or backyard? Well, the seed that started that, even though you're looking at it, that big tree and all the leaves that you're raking, there was a seed that started it, and inside of that seed really was that big tree. Inside of seeds are amazing things, and we're talking about the seed. So what do we know about the Word of God? What do we know about the seed? Well, I know that the seed is alive and powerful. Just jot this down. Write down Hebrews 4:12. It says, the Word of God, or the seed, the Word of God, the seed, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So guess what, guys? This Word is alive. This Word is alive. Alive and powerful. And if you start seeing that and grabbing hold of it, I will guarantee you what God will guarantee you, that it'll change your life. So this Word is alive and powerful. We also know that the Bible says in Psalms that the Word of God was exalted higher than His name. Let make that head turn, right? The Word of God is exalted higher than His name. It also says the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. This should not be collecting dust. This is incredible, right? It is powerful. It's alive. Okay, so we know all of these things about the Word. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's incredible. It's okay. But the question, the million-dollar question that we've been asking, or we should be asking, is why then isn't this Word producing in my life like it says it should? Okay, and listen, I know, personally, it's a tough question. I've had a look, and I continue to look and ask that question. If this Word is so powerful, and it does this, and it gives change and all that, then I need, and I'm not seeing it, I think it's time to sit down and ask, why isn't it working? Okay? It's not the seed. It's not the seed, all right? So, are you all over at Matthew chapter 13? We're going to just do a little review, and then we're going to jump into the last kind of ground. Here we go. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Then he, Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground. That's what we talked about last week, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop of some hundredfold, 60 and 30. Okay, so we already know that the seed that he's talking about is really the Word of God. Everybody say, I know that, Pastor D. You've said that for 3 weeks, okay? The seed is really the Word of God. And we've got these four kinds of ground that the seed went into, right? We've got four kinds of ground where the seed went into. Yet, we know that the seed has ability to produce. The seed has this ability to grow things. And yet we've got four kinds of seed that went in, we got the same kind of seed that went into four kinds of ground, and only one ground produced. So we should be going, well, what's going on? All right, it's time to ask why. And Jesus, his disciples came up to him and said, well, why? And he goes on and explain in verse 18. Okay, let me flip over there. Ready? Jesus says, hear therefore the parable of the sower. Okay, so we found out that they all heard, but they didn't hear. Okay, they didn't hear and they didn't understand. So they all heard the word of God, but they didn't get it. Okay. And therefore it didn't produce. Okay. Sort of like, it's me sitting down and watching the Spanish channel on TV. I don't speak Spanish. 10 words. Okay. If I brush up. All right. But I don't speak Spanish. I don't understand it. Okay. So if I'm watching the Spanish channel and I don't understand Spanish, well, if you raise the volume, am I going to understand it? Oh, I know. Wait a minute. Why don't you put those subtitles in Spanish underneath? Is that going to help me understand it? No, because I don't understand Spanish. The problem is my understanding, okay? And that's what he's talking about. They heard, but they didn't understand. They saw, but they didn't perceive, okay? So Jesus is saying later on, he said, yeah, you all heard, but you didn't hear. And that's why he said over in James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers only. Not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. I have been deceived in a few things in life. Okay, but alrighty. Let's read the next verse. Verse 19. When anyone hears what? The word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in his heart, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. Okay, so we talked a whole lot the first week about understanding the word. And when we say understanding the word, we mean understand the meaning of it, understanding the nature of it. And then last one, we talked about value. And this is what he's saying is if you do not value the word, it's going to get robbed out of you. If you don't value the word, it's going to get robbed. It's not going to get produced. It's not going to get robbed. So we need to have an understanding every time. And I don't always understand this every time I read it. Being honest, because I don't lie. Okay. But I'll ask God, you know, I just read this. I think I've read this 100 times. I know there's more in here. Lord, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Go teach me. Give me understanding. And man, sometimes I get it right away. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes I'm reading this 10 years later and I'm like, I get it. And I probably call you up and tell you that. Okay. But we need to have a value of the word, that it is the final authority in your life. Not your circumstances, not what Aunt Granny told you, okay? You need to have a value of the word, that it is the first and the last and the middle authority of everything in your life, okay? So we need to have a value of the word, that it is, okay? And then when you do have that value, you are actually esteeming or valuing the word of God, and it will start producing. Okay, it will. Okay, and then later on, we said the first week that Jesus said, he who honors me, I will honor him. Do you remember that? He who honors me, Jesus, I will honor him. Okay, and I have a really good book I want to advertise. We do not have it in the bookstore. This is by John Bevere. Anybody know John Bevere? I don't know him personally, but I've probably read most of his books. This is a great book on honor. I found out I didn't know diddlywop until I got dug into this. But I also dug into the word. So good book. I will let you borrow it. I will put my name tag on it, and you have to sign it out because grandma taught me how to do that. All right. So anyway, there's a lot we can do with honor. There's a lot of things ways we can honor the Lord. We honor the Lord with our giving, right? Anybody read that? We honor the Lord. We present it, and we honor it to him. How about this? We honor the Lord with our time. Y'all had options today. And thank you, online people. You had options today. And you chose to make a decision to come and sit under the word. Guess what? You have honored the Lord. Everybody say, I honored the Lord today. Yeah, you did. Okay. But check this out. He said, if you honor me, Jesus saying, I will honor you. Listen, when you've been honored by the Lord, you know it. You're not like, I wonder if I was honored by the Lord. No. When God honors you, you will know it. You will know it. Okay. So we honor him. All right. One of the ways we honor him is we value his word. Okay. We value his word. And when we value his word properly, it says it won't get stolen. Amen. All right. Jump over to verse 20 now. I'm doing the review. Take a breath, Pastor D. You're talking fast. I know. I'm from Jersey. We do that. You should hear one of my sisters. Man, she just, I'm nothing compared to that. Okay, verse 20. But he who receives the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And we said that's like you're sitting in the church service and you're listening to Pastor D preaching the word and you're like, whoa, Pastor D, that is so good. Say it again. I just said it. Say it again. I just said it. Wow, Pastor D, amen. That is so good. Okay. And I'm telling you what, it's easy to receive the word with joy in this place. It is, because you have me. No, because it's the word. But y'all know better, all right? Y'all know better. But joy here he's talking about is when you see something coming. That's the real joy. When you see something coming down the road, okay? Now, we also know the difference between happiness and joy, and I'm not going to get to it, but joy is when you see something coming despite, or better yet, you see joy, you have joy, despite what's going on in your life. Anybody got stuff going on in their life? Man, okay, real joy, value and honor the word is what, that's okay, I see what's coming. I know what's coming. I know. By the way, I'm not lost. I'm on page here. But today, I wanted to say this to Nevin, but I wanted to say, he hears God's voice. I know he spends time, and this is for everybody, because this is true for everybody, but when you spend time just hanging out with Jesus, and that's valuing his word, and digging into his word, and applying the word, he does that. And he hears songs from heaven for us on earth. And every song is my message. I thought, I'm going home. Just play those songs. Okay, but the word, we're going to exalt the word. I'll tell you what. So, but y'all do that too. And you spend time with Jesus. My sheep hear his voice, right? The stranger's voice I'll not follow. You'll hear his word. Okay, I just had to say that. Now I don't know where I am on my notes. Okay, let me think. Oh, yeah. Okay, so real joy, you can have real joy in the presence of things aren't going so good, okay? Because you see things coming. And that was that scripture we gave you last week about David in Psalm 27. David said, I almost fainted. I almost quit. Unless I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord. Okay? That was one of our songs too. And listen, so listen, when you believe that you see what the promises are, David, he did, and it carried him over till he got all the way through it, and he made it stronger. It made him stronger. And I'm telling you guys, it'll work for you. How many of you know it works for you? Whew, it does, it does, it does. Okay, so Matthew, let's read verse 21. Yet he had no root in him. He endured only for a while. For when tribulations, we talked about that, and persecutions arise because of the word's sake, immediately stumbles. So, question we should be asking, how on earth do I go through these trials, these problems, this stuff, and have joy? I have asked that for decades, for a long time, and then the Lord started opening this up to me. Okay, it's okay. So how do we have joy? Well, the answer was you put your eyes not on your circumstances. You put your eyes on the promises, and you see them coming. Okay, and that is how you walk through with joy. And that's why when we read James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Various means random. I'm getting hit all over, okay? When you fall into them, and the answer was knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. The testing of your faith produces something. What does it produce? It's patience. And then it says, verse 4, let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. All right? So that word perfect is not that you're flawless. You all are flawless. So am I. So, but that word perfect doesn't mean that. Okay? That word means mature. I'm mature. Okay, you're mature. That means you're grown up, okay? Now, that is, everybody say, I love you, Pastor D, I love you, Pastor D. But listen, that is the biggest difference in some people, right? Some of them are mature, and others, they got their diapers on, okay? Some people are mature. Some people think they are mature because they're, well, I'm 66 years old. okay? Maturity has nothing to do with your gray hair, the number, right? Right. Now, I will say that there are certain things that you'll go through life and you'll learn just because you learn them through life if you're paying attention. That's why Pastor Sherry always calls me up and she goes, Mom, how do we do this? I know you already know. I know, because I've done it 100 times wrong first and then later on right, okay? So you learn some things if you're paying attention, okay? But that's not what he's talking about, all right? That's not what he's talking about. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, that we should no longer be immature. I'd love to come up to some of you and say that. No, I wouldn't. Okay. I didn't. Okay. Okay. You should no longer be immature like children. Okay. Now this is the next part. Okay. Like children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Okay. I'll explain that later. All right. So what do you know about kids? You know what I know about kids? They'll believe anything you say. The tooth falls out. I come up to you and I go, oh, your tooth came out. Let's put it under your pillow tonight. And then the tooth fairy will come. And they are like, can't fall asleep. Because why? They believe everything you say. Right? All right? And Paul is saying, hey, don't be that way with every kind of doctrine. What every person says is this way, what another person says that way. He says, don't be that way, all right? You know what you need to do? Go to the Word of God. Listen, though I will say, I read other books, but I check them out. You better be kissing looking like this, okay? All right, but go to the Word of God. Find out what it says when somebody comes up with, oh, listen, when you do be as young as me, we have heard some wing dingies, right? Bob Dolores, we've been doing this a long time. We have heard some wing dingy doctrine stuff. But you go to the Word of God, you check it out. You check me out. That's why I give you these scriptures, all 15 of them today, all right? Check them out, and then you stick with it, all right? So the Word of God is your final authority, and that is when you are mature. Everybody say, I'm so mature. I'm mature, okay? Maturity. And maturity, when you've got maturity, you'll stay in joy. When you have maturity, you will endure. You'll keep going, okay? Okay, maturity will get you to endurance, all righty? Now, again, how many of you have kids? How many have grandkids? Are they easily distracted? Like, you just ask them to do one thing, and then they see something, and they're just lost, okay? By the way, I know a lot of adults that are super distracted. By the way, when I go to a service, when I get out of Dodge and I go to someone else's church, I am looking for the first three rows because I can be distracted. Anybody get distracted? Okay. Just in everything in life, but that too. Okay. So, and I think God's not going, oh, yippee, they're just cute little kids, distracted. I don't think so, okay? And you think about all that God has done by getting his word across to us, all that God has done in his word to give you direction, to give you instructions, and we've been so distracted. Oh, yeah, look at you, okay? Just distracted, okay? And I don't think God's laughing at us and going, oh, you're so cute. No, because he said, stop being immature, all right? Okay, Pastor D, this is good stuff. All right. And he also says you need to put it away. Now hang with me. Ready? 1 Corinthians 13, what is that called? The love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. About halfway through down there, Paul says this, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. Okay, I understood like a child, I acted like a child, that's the Cashman version, okay? But when I became a man, I put those things away. I put those childish things away, all right? All right, now, guess what? You don't ever grow up out of being distracted. Okay, you have to put them away, all right? Sometimes I just throw them out. If we go clean house, that's it. I'm tired of this. I'm being distracted, all right? So sometimes you have to make a decision to put things away that distract you so that you'll value this. Are you right? All right? So And listen, we live in, I think forever on the earth, but I think so more so now. We live in a time where it's going, look at me, look at me, look at me. Everything is vying for your time, right? You think kids are. It's just all the stuff that's out there, okay? And it is vying for your time unless you put these distractions away. Okay, that's all. I could say a whole lot more. That's a good series someday. Okay, all right. So it requires maturity to have joy. It requires maturity to endure. And it requires, this is just a review from week number one, that you know how much God loves you. That you know how much God loves you. Okay, when you have that root in you, you know that God loves you. On my days and when I mess up, that's okay. I know God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I know that his word is true. I know that it's forever settled. I know that his word's working. I know that I'm blood washed. I'm the redeemed. I'm forgiven. I just know that God loves me, okay? And when you know that and you know his word is true, you'll keep enduring, 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 okay? So that was all. Week one, let's do a review for week one and two. Let's talk about today. Today, let's get into verse 22. Today I want to talk about this. Verse 22. Ready? Here we go. Now he who receives seed among the thorns. Everybody say thorns. It's that other ground that just, okay, thorns. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. And if you were to read this same parable in Mark chapter 4, and you just scribble it down, he adds this part, the desires or the lusts for other things. He adds that too, okay? So he's adding that too there. And so okay, I'm lost. Hang on. Okay. He said, you all heard the word? But it ran on stony ground, thorns, because of the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires and lust for other things, okay? But wait a minute. We have proven, if you've been here for week two, one, two, and three, that the seed produces. We have proven that there's nothing the matter with the seed, right? We found out, right? Everybody goes, there's nothing the matter with the seed, all right? Okay, but right here, the thorns choked the seed. The thorns choked the word, okay? It choked it and it was unfruitful. It didn't produce. No fruit was growing. It didn't produce. So what choked the word this time? Thorns, okay? And we're going to talk about that. Why? Well, why didn't it produce? It got choked. It got suffocated. And Jesus goes on and explains. So here's number one. We're going to talk about this. Why was the word choked? Ready? Number one, the cares of the world. The cares of the world. Okay, cares of the world. So this is the best way I can say it for like today's lingo. Ready? The cares of the world, we'd say, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've got situations in my life. I got stuff in my family. I got stuff on the job. I got this pressure and I'm going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Guys, that sometimes, not us, some other people, that's the first thing out of our mouth. What am I going to do about this? What are we going to do about the kids? How are we going to get through this? Okay, what am I going to do about the paycheck? What am I going to do about the job? What am I going to do? Did you hear that? What am I going to do? 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 Okay, and the problem is, he said, that'll choke the word from producing in your life, right? So that's the first one. He said, the cares of the world will choke the word. The second one, he says, the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Like that word deceitful. Go do a word study. That's really fun. But the deceitfulness of riches, okay? That would be, I have to make a living. You got to make a living. You got to get out there and work and make a living. You got to get a paycheck, girl, okay? That's my interpretation of the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust for other things, all right? So it's really interesting. Has anybody traveled outside the United States? Canada doesn't count, all right? Have you ever, and outside of Sandals All-Inclusive Resort? Okay, that doesn't count. You have to get outside of that. Okay, and you go wander around some of these countries, and not just third world countries, and actually we have places in our city and, you know, but specifically this was a revelation to me. I had the pleasure of traveling in different countries, and I thought, man, we have so much. Remember the first time we took my kids, y'all were little, to Jamaica, and we were staying in one of those resorts. Not quite sandals, but it was that one, yeah. And we were driving around, and first 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, my kids got in the car as we drove through these towns, and nobody talked. They were in shell shock. And really what it was a revelation is, man, we have so much. Everybody say that? We have so much. So in the little traveling I've had to been able to go overseas, and I haven't really traveled overseas in about 10 years, maybe 6 years, but I go to the resorts, okay? But I remember this one place Jack and I went to, and he was asked to teach during the day pastors. And then we had this other minister who was doing the evening meetings along with the pastor of this church. And we got into this place, and it was really run down. One, it's a hot place, and they don't have AC. Two, they don't have screens. Three, they didn't have nice chairs. You know, they had made some rinky-dinky benches, okay? And sometimes you were, if you were blessed, to sit in one of those stackable white chairs we used to have, you know. Now everybody's got camp chairs, but, you know, if you were the blessed one, you got to sit in that. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, they are poor. Woo! They're poor, okay? But listen, worship started. I think they might have had a rinky-dink keyboard and a guy, I don't even know, with a box, with a wire, with a mic. And they just worshiped God. They were singing praises to Jesus, worshiping and worshiping. Why did I say all that? I don't know. Because, you know, it's interesting. You can be rich, and you can be controlled by the deceitfulness of riches. And you can be poor, and you can be controlled by the deceitfulness of riches. But those people had none of the above. They just knew they're blessed. They're going to come in and just live life for Jesus. Okay, so what am I saying all that? Okay, so the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, what's it going to do? It can choke the word out of your life. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? Oh my gosh, I need that thing, okay? Now, keep your finger here, but flip back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Ready? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Matthew chapter 6. We'll go back to Matthew 13, but here we go. Matthew 6. Jesus is speaking, and he said, when you pray. Y'all pray, people? Yes, Pastor D. Amen. Okay, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Okay, this is what I think when I read that. Some little kid coming up, daddy, 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 mommy, 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 mommy. And they think if they keep at it, they keep at it, you will turn around and go, what? What do you want? Here, okay? Anybody? Nobody's experienced that in their life, okay? And he said the heathens, so let's put this way. We could say, oh, they're not believers. Well, let's put it this way. How about people that don't value the word? Okay. So he's saying the heathens pray that way, and they think if they say it long enough, they'll bug God long enough, bug God, their God, he'll give it to them. Okay. And he's talking about heathens. But I know believers that think if they do that, God will give it to them, okay? And what did Jesus say? Don't do that. Don't be that way. All right, hop down to verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Okay? So that, what did he just say? Before you even ask God, he knows what you need. All right, I remember this. This is quite a few years back, but there was a need going on in our life, and grabbed Jack and we prayed about it. And the next day, somebody brought our need to us, and I don't want to get into the details. And I was like, and they said, you know, this, I was supposed to do this last week, but I'm bringing it over today. And first I was going to have an attitude. What do you mean? You should have brought it over last week. Okay, no. But you know what? It hit me. God knew before I even knew I had a need, and he got taken care of it. Just think about your daddy. Come on. Just think about him. He's pretty cool. Okay? Verse 9. Let's go there. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, or art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay. Everybody, what is this prayer usually called? The Lord's Prayer. So, and on the top of my Bible in there, it's got a subtitle, The Lord's Prayer. And I got to thinking, you know, it really isn't the Lord's Prayer. It's our prayer. It's the prayer the Lord gave us. Can I just go with me? All right. It's the prayer. It's the prayer that the Lord showed us. It's the prayer the Lord said, hey, you pray this way. You say this way. It's really for us, right? It's for us. Okay. Now, I'm going to lay a little foundation before we go to the next scripture. If you've been here for a while, we know that Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. Jesus was the man on the earth to show us who God is. Everybody say, oh yeah, Pastor D, you've said that. I've read that. I know that. All right. We also know that he said oftentimes, I only say what my Father says. I'm only repeating what he says, okay? We also know that his whole purpose on this earth was to reveal the Father. Everybody say, yeah, I believe that. I know that. I heard that. Okay? Alrighty. So, and a lot of times he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Alrighty? Now, Jesus actually is revealing who the Father is, right? Play, hop, skip, and jump with me. He's revealing who the Father is. Better yet, he is revealing the Father's will. Amen? Write that down. Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, came to reveal the Father's word. Amen? So how come you have people, not any of you all, that say, is it the Lord's will to heal? You know what I tell them? Well, what did Jesus do? Did he heal people or make them sick? He healed them. So that is the will of God. Amen? Because Jesus came to reveal the will, word. How about this? Does God bless or does God curse? Well, what did Jesus walk around doing? Blessed. He blessed. Okay. So that is the will of God. Amen? You guys, okay, so how do you know the will of God? Look at Jesus. Look at the word, okay? But look at Jesus and you know the word, okay? So verse 9, here we go. He says, pray this. Pray this. Who's doing the talking there? Jesus is saying to me, D, pray this, and he's going to go through this. So he's actually telling me, and Jesus is the revealed word of God. He is the revealer of God's will. So everything down there, it's the will. All right? All right. Now, so just maybe I might have to change the way I think about how I pray. All right, just maybe I might have to change that I am not trying to convince God anything. Are you kidding me? He's God. All right. Yeah, maybe it's not you informing him everything. All right. It's not. He's God. Okay. And I'm telling you, the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray is when you pray the will of God. Amen. All right. Everybody say, pray the will of God. All right. All righty. So, and if you will pray the will of God, he's a God that could not lie, cannot lie. He's a good God, and he responds to his word. Just saying. All righty. So Jesus is saying, pray this way. Pray this way because this is God's will. Pray this way because this is God's will on how you should pray. Okay? And he says, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven. Everybody see that verse 9? Our Father who is in heaven. Now, did he say, my Father? No, what did he say right there? our Father. That one statement should make you do backflips, okay? That one statement lifts you up from where you are. That was one of the songs we sang. Lifts you up from where you are and places you up next seated to Jesus into sonship. Now walk around, okay? That one prayer by our Father, he says you are now in sonship category, okay? So he says, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So again, he has lifted you up from your to sons of the Most High God, full of authority, full of all of Jesus, okay? He's lifted you up. And then right there when he says, hallowed be thy name, do you see that? It talks about how to worship God. God, I just worship you. He's telling you how to do it. Just love him. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo! Okay? So, praise the Lord. Now, when you do that, not only does that happen when you start going, hallowed be thy name, I worship you, I worship you. What you're also doing is honoring him. You're giving him honor. We give him honor when we sing praises to him. And what did he say? You honor me, I'm going to honor you. Woo! That'll change you people that come, not us. Okay, that could be nice to you. So don't come late for worship. Okay, how about that? Right, verse 10, here we go. Next thing he said, pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? So what's Jesus doing right there? He is revealing God's desire to invade your life. I'm going to use a different word. To invade your kingdom with his kingdom, with his will. He is giving you an invitation. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That is so cool. Okay, now I'm going to take you on a journey on this way. Already? Now, the kingdom of God, that used to bug me for the first 20 years I was reading my Bible, okay? And then I finally started going, God, what does it mean? But listen, Jesus was big on the kingdom. Everywhere he went, I have come, the kingdom of God is this, the kingdom of God is this. I came to preach the kingdom of God. Everybody read that in the Gospels? He's just big on it, all right? Just big, the kingdom of God. And what he's saying, for us, when we say, pray this, your kingdom come, he is inviting you into his kingdom. Okay? Now, we are inviting his kingdom, I'm going to use this word again, into our kingdom. Or our way of life. But he has invited you. When you say this, he's giving you the, would you invite his kingdom into your life? Woo! Everybody say, what would you say? Yeah, okay. And in his kingdom, he has given you all power, all authority in that realm. That's a pretty good kingdom. I mean, mine's okay, but that is a good kingdom, right? His kingdom, all right? So he says, pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, close your eyes. Go wild with me with your imagination. Okay, just okay. What happens when one kingdom comes and invades another kingdom and overthrows it? Okay, open your eyes. Okay, what happens? Okay, it's not polite. Just watch the old Knights movies or Star Wars, okay? It's not polite. It's not gentle. They don't call you up, hey, we're coming in tonight at midnight. No, are you kidding me? It is when a kingdom invades another kingdom, it's violent and it's quick. Anybody see those movies? Okay? Alrighty, so listen. What happens when one kingdom moves in and overtakes another kingdom? What happens, all right? There's a new government. There's new rules that happen. It changes, okay? There's new authority. There's new culture. There's new communication. There's new language. Yeah, just think back through history. I am the big guy. I'm invading you. You now have to change everything, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all, good, good, good. Okay, so changes everything. The kingdom that invaded that kingdom, it changes everything over here. Alrighty? So, God is saying that we should say, your kingdom come, your will be done, and I'm telling you what, It'll change everything in your life. It should, and it does, have the ability to change the way you talk, right? Change the way you act. Yeah? Just change, 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 change. When you say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, all righty? So in the Gospels, all throughout the New Testament, it talks about the kingdom of darkness bows its knee to the kingdom of light. You know the scripture, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay, the kingdom of darkness has to bow its knee to the kingdom of light. So you walk into a really dark room, no windows, and you turn on the light. Okay, what happens? Does the light go, oh, I think I'll just linger around a little bit. I'm not sure if I want to. No, you turn the light on and immediately darkness leaves. Word of God, okay? So Jesus is inviting us to invite his kingdom into our life, and there will be a change. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now, but he needs us on the earth. Okay. Think about this. Just scribble this down. Read Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this week. It's really good. It says, Adam sinned. Right? It says, and then sin came because of Adam, and then death through sin, and by that sin, death reigned. There was a new kingdom set up, not the one I like, right? There was a new kingdom set up because of Adam, okay? And then if you read the end of Romans chapter 5, it says, but how much more God's grace comes through Jesus. That was the best kingdom change. Okay, it's all about, read the best of it. It's about the kingdom that changed through Jesus. Okay, that realm just changes through him. And it says, through him we can rule and reign in life. Woo! As more than conquerors, as victorious. Through him we get to that reign. That's one of those kingdom terms, right? Reign, all righty? So he says, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done. I said all that to verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says this. Pray this, give us this day our daily bread, okay? He just revealed his will to provide for you. He just revealed his will that your needs are met when he said you could pray that. Now, God, Jesus wouldn't write that unless God could do that or would do that or does do that. Right? Alrighty. So he says, pray this because this is God's will. Well, I just don't know. Shut up. Pray this. This is God's will. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. All right. So instead of thorns, instead of the cares of the world, instead of the deceitfulness and riches and the pride and the lust and all that stuff, instead of what am I going to do? Oh, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do? Instead of how am I going to make it through? How am I going to pay these bills? Instead of that kind of mindset. Okay. How about you just have this one? Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you. Father, you just give. I thank you, give, and my needs are met. Amen? Okay, now, you have to pray that in confidence, because you know the one, okay? And amen. Alrighty. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of them. Go have some fun. But jump down to verse 25. We're still in Matthew 6, verse 25. Okay? Verse 25. This is the red letter. This is Jesus. Ready? He says, Jesus speaking, therefore I say to you, everybody say, do not worry, okay, about your life. Stop it. Knock it off. Stop. Stop worrying about your life, right? You see that? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, about your body. Oh, body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, okay? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than thee? Okay, we found out that you are valued, and you value him. He will value you. That scripture just says you're valuable. Are you not more valuable? Everybody say, I am more valuable. Birds. Yeah. Okay, he's saying valued. You are valued, okay? And what's he doing? He's putting value on you. Value, okay? And it's okay. 27, I'm looking at the clock. Hallelujah. Verse 27. But which of you by worrying can add one cubic to his stature? Or which of you by saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this? I got to do this. How many of you could say that and you're going to grow 1 inch? All right. It's like me taking a little kid and say, hey, come up front. Would you like to be really tall? Okay. Just worry about it. Just think about work. Just do that worry face. Okay. Is that going to make him taller? No. What are we doing? Okay. All right. Does that fix your problem? What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? How am I going to do? Okay. It doesn't. All right. So he's saying all those stuff you got going, does worry going to fix it? What's the answer? No. All right. So he's saying, stop it. Stop it. Stop being consumed by worry. Okay. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God clothes the grasses of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Okay, and then this is the kicker. Oh, you of little faith. Everybody say that. Oh, you of little faith. Keep your finger there. Turn over to Galatians. Okay. Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 6. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ, neither circumcision or non-circumcision avails much. Doesn't count for anything. If you don't know what circumcision is, go talk to Lane after church. He'll get all red in the face and tell you. Okay? All right? Just do that. Okay? But for the sake of this message, he's talking about tradition. He's really talking about tradition. And he says, God instituted this for Abraham, but Jesus came and replaced all of that. A new kingdom, right? A new way of thinking, a new way of talking, a new approach, okay? And he's saying, circumcision this or not circumcision doesn't do nothing, okay? It doesn't produce anything. So what have we been talking about? Why isn't the seed producing in my life? Well, traditions won't produce. Okay, I'm going to skip on because we talked about that in week two. But read the last part. By faith working through love. So I'm going to chop off this part and put it together. How about we say, but in Christ, in Jesus, faith works by love. You guys okay with that? In Jesus, faith works by love, okay? And we could say, so in Christ, let me just say this, faith works, okay? In Christ, faith works. Faith in Christ works. Faith in Christ produces. How about I say that, okay? How about faith in Jesus Christ causes change if you have faith in him? But you can't leave out the second part, okay? The second part, what does it say? But faith works by love. Faith works by love. Okay? Faith works when you know how much God loves you. When you know how much God loves you, you know that he'll do anything his word says. You know how much God loves you. You know that he's my dad. He'll never leave me. His word is forever settled. You know, and there's no more fear. When you know, and you can go up to him and pray like this, because you got to know how much God loves you, how much God loves you, okay? So, Jesus said, why are you worrying about all these things? Oh, you of little faith. In other words, if you're worried about how this is going to happen, how am I going to get this? What are we going to do, okay? Then you are not convinced on how much God loves you. If you are not convinced on God's love, you're not convinced on his will, and you're just worrying, okay? It's not a good place to be, okay? So Jesus is saying, if you don't know how much you're loved, then you have little faith. I didn't say it. He said that. I read that, right? Okay. Now, just write this down. Mark chapter 4, Jesus goes through this, the same parable, okay? And then he goes through the whole parable. He explains the seed and the sower and this ground and that ground. And then he explains the whole thing to his disciples. And then he says, hey, guys, at the very end of that chapter, he says, hey, guys, get into the boat. We're going to the other side. All right. Does everybody know that part of the story? He says, get in there. So they all get in the boat on that same day, that Jesus explained this parable. The seed over here, the seed over there explains everything, tells them not to be worried. Okay. On that same day, after he gave that whole big explanation, he says, okay, get in the boat. And they're in the boat, and a storm comes up. Right. But Jesus goes and finds a nice place to go to sleep. And this storm comes up, and the disciples are like, Master, we'll perish. Don't you care? Okay, they're having a freak out moment. Okay? Jesus, don't you care? We're going to perish. So he gets up and he tells the storm and the winds to be still. All right? Okay. And he turns to them and he says, oh, you of little faith. Now, a lot of times we preach that. The reason why Jesus said that is, well, you know, you guys, you didn't expect the storm to stop. You didn't say, and Jesus is mad at you, didn't stand up and do that. And he might have expected him to do that. But you know what? The travesty, the worst thing about that whole thing was not that they didn't get up and command the storm to stop. The worstest travesty, I like that word, it's my God, is that they said, Jesus, don't you care? All right? Because right there, they didn't know how much he loved them. Okay, if you don't know how much he loves you, you are full of worry, okay? And if you don't know how much he loves you, you are not going to be able to stand up and scream at the wind, stop! Okay? You're not going to be able to do that because you are not convinced that God loves you. You're not convinced that it's his will to protect you. Okay? You are not convinced that standing up there and screaming your head off is going to work. Okay? So that was the saddest thing. It wasn't that they didn't stand up and say, storm, be still. The saddest, worstest thing was they said, Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, don't you love me? Love us, okay? Now, guys, we got to know before you pray this is how much God loves you. How much he loves you. He loves you, okay? Further down on Matthew chapter 6, like towards the end, it says, and I'm not going to go through it, but it says, seek first the kingdom. Ooh, that's a kingdom word. He's saying, seek first the kingdom. Why? Because everything you need is in his kingdom, right? Everything for life and godliness is found in him, in his kingdom. So that's why he says, seek first the kingdom. Now, okay, back to Matthew chapter 13. I said we were going back there, verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22. Now he who received seed among thorns, everybody say thorns, is he who hears the word, okay? It's he who hears the word for God's will to provide. And they start wondering, I don't know, you know, maybe it's not God's will to provide, okay? He who hears the word on God's will to heal, they start wondering, you know, I don't know, maybe God sent this to me. I don't know if God wants me well, okay? He who hears the word on it's God is love for your family, for your marriage, and you start wondering, oh, you know, I just don't know. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know. Everything's falling apart. Worry, 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 okay? Okay? He who hears the word and says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How are we going to make it, okay? Jesus said those words are thorns. Everybody say thorns. Those words are thorns, okay? What am I going to do? How are we going to make it? I've got to make it. I've got to have this thing because I need it. Those are thorns. Those are thorns. Those are thorns, okay? And this is interesting. It is just so natural to do that. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, it is just it's just natural. We just naturally do that, okay? It is a natural way of thinking. What am I going to do? How are we going to do this? I got to do this, okay? Okay? It is just natural. Now, I am not a gardener. Matter of fact, I moved into a new place, and all they have is grass. Not one flower, not one bush. I'm loving it because I am not a gardener. But this one thing I know, especially if you walk out this hill down here, thorns, thistles, weeds, they just naturally come up. Right? I didn't have to go out and plant them. No, they just naturally come up, right? Anybody got them naturally come up? All right, they naturally come up. Okay, and he's saying that is a natural way of thinking, especially if you come from generation after generation of worry warts. My granny was a worrier. My grandpappy was a worrier. Aunt Tilly was a worrier, okay? They are four-star worriers. Then it's really natural for you to say, what am I going to do? How are we going to make it? Okay? Okay? Okay. It's just kind of natural to say that, okay? Unless you hide the word in your heart, value it above the worry, okay? Unless you do that, and that's you making a decision, right? That's you making a decision that I will honor this above everything else. Amen? Okay? But, okay, well, again, what happens when one kingdom invades the other? There's a total change, okay? There's a change of language. And if you start valuing this and honoring this and digging into this, you will change your language. Amen? That's good news. Praise God. So we've got to change our language. Amen? Okay, I need to wrap up. All right. By the way, God does not speak worry. No habla worry. He doesn't speak that. Now, and when you start speaking, what am I going to do? How am I going to worry, 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 worry? He doesn't understand you. He does not understand you. He doesn't speak that language. He doesn't understand what you're saying, okay? And Jesus said the thorns choke the word. The thorns, worry, choke the word, okay? It choked the word, and it was unfruitful, and it didn't produce. So, in closing, we have heard about ground that don't produce. We heard about all the reasons why it doesn't produce, and we've heard about the good ground and why it produces in between all of that, okay? So, good ground, okay, good ground. If I got good ground, it's going to produce the seed, the word of God. It's going to produce seed. It's going to produce what God says it will. Amen? So how about if somebody, okay, how do I get good soil, good dirt to produce? How about, write this down, number one, you honor the word of God above everything else, okay? You honor the word. This word is the final authority. I don't care if great granny told you something. You say, this is my authority, and I will honor it, okay? Guess what? The word is capable of producing now, all right? How about you say this? How about somebody gets a revelation on how much God loves them? Man, you just know that God loves you. I'm telling you, that is good ground for the word to produce. All right? How about this? How about you just quit worrying and let God's kingdom invade? How about the atmosphere? I love when they say the atmosphere. The atmosphere of heaven invades your life. You get a revelation on that kingdom. You are now good ground, and the word will produce. Amen. So ends our series on dirt. Stand up. I want to pray. Let's pray. Praise God. Father, I have done my best to talk about dirt, good ground in your word. And I thank you, Father, that you have brought light into our life when we have not seen the seed that should have produced. I thank you that we now have light and understanding, and we value your word, and we will see your word as we speak your word produce in our life. We thank you. And we just say we're making a change to let your kingdom invade us this day and every day after. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, y'all, good dirt. You are blessed coming in. You are blessed going out. Have a great week. I love you. If you would like prayer for anything, we will pray. I need my water.